It was my intent to begin the book of Romans this morning. We ended with Revelation last week, and you know, at the very end of Revelation, it says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. Yeah, that's right, honey, so you can say that. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Now, did you notice the difference there? It says, the Spirit and the bride say to come. That's the invitation, right? And let him that heareth say, no, it says, say come. In other words, once you've heard and believed, now it's your turn to go out there and say, come. And then it says, and him that is athirst, that's what it says, isn't it? In other words, the person who is thirsty. Thirst is undeniable, isn't it? I mean, you can't get past the fact that you're thirsty. I don't care what anybody says. Now, you may go without something to drink, but you're tricking yourself if you're telling yourself, well, I'm not thirsty. Because what's going to happen? You're going to dehydrate. And then what's going to happen? Who said that? Now, I'm going over here and talk to her because she's the only one that's listening, and she speaks out. Did you notice how she said, go and die of thirst?
You're going to die without Jesus if you don't come.
Now, see, she's picking up what I'm putting down. I'm not talking about being thirsty for water at all, Emma. The Bible's not talking about being thirsty for water. The Bible's talking about being thirsty for the water of life. In other words, do you like being dead or do you want to be alive? That's the difference. It's so simple. It's not hard. You just make a choice, right? Well, the first verse in Romans 1, you can turn there if you want to. That's not where I'm going to be, but you can go there. That's okay. I'm going to start there. The first verse in Romans says, Paul, he identifies himself, called to be an apostle. Now, the word called means chosen. Paul was chosen of God. First of all, he was chosen to be saved. How many of you are saved? Don't raise your hand, just tell yourself. You know. Listen, if you're saved, you were chosen to be saved. You were chosen of God. You were invited by God. Remember, I just gave it to you in Revelation. The last thing he says in the book is come. He's inviting everyone to come and be saved. Look, folks, we got to get back to being saved. We've let this world and the preachers of this world and the teachers of this world twist this thing around to where nobody I hear saying saved much anymore. When that's what Jesus said, Paul said, for this cause came he into the world to save sinners. Now, what does the word save mean? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means to rescue or to deliver. Now, if you need rescuing, then that means that someone has you captive and you can't get yourself free. If you need deliverance, that means someone has you captive and you can't get yourself free. Well, could I tell you that a person that is lost can try just as hard as they will, but they will never, ever get themselves free. They will be in bondage their entire life. And after life, they will be in bondage in hell. Now, that's a precarious situation. Would you agree with me? I mean, listen, that's a situation if a person is thinking logically, and I want you to file that word under L for logically. We'll come back to it. If a person is thinking rationally or logically, and they are in captivity, and someone comes along and says, I can set you free, they got to be dumber than a coal bucket. And I say that with respect to all coal buckets. They got to be dumber than a coal bucket to say, no, I believe I'll just stay here and try to get myself free. They wouldn't do that, would they? No, no. Well, look, that's what Jesus does. People that are lost are shackled. They're bound. They're in prison. These are terms the Bible calls. You're in prison. You can't get yourself out of prison. But here comes someone who says, but I can set you free. That's what salvation is, folks. Salvation is about rescue, deliverance, and freedom. Freedom from sin. The Bible says this, whom the Son hath made. Now we're going to start with a new year. And any time in this class someone answers, they're going to do like this wonderful person back here. And they're going to shout it out. Because everybody needs to hear the answer. You say, well, what if I'm wrong? So?
Yeah, that's
That's a teaching moment. If you're wrong, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to chastise you and beat you and make you stand in the corner. But when you say, whom the Son hath made free, he is free indeed. Listen, folks, that's something to shout out. We're too quiet about all this.
That wasn't me, though. That was the Spirit. I felt it.
I'm going to talk to her. Nobody else will talk to me. Hey, but that's what I'm talking about. I don't want people to come in here. Listen, we're in the house of God. If we're not directed by the Spirit of God, what are we doing here? The only person that can't be directed by the Spirit of God is a person who doesn't have the Spirit of God, and that's a lost person. But I'm trying to tell a lost person how they can find freedom, deliverance, rescue, the Spirit. For he that hath the Spirit hath life. He that hath not the Spirit hath not. Boy, I tell you what, y'all are so slow. What'd you say? I couldn't hear you. Say it out, brother. Thank you. Life. What would you rather have, life or death?
Life.
Would you rather be walking around today or like this, bless God?
Walking.
Well, then that ought to be something to tell people, I have life. You can have life. And so, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, called to be an apostle. I didn't do this on my own. God invited me. God chose me. And he separated me for a reason. He not only chose me, but he separated me. He set me out here for an express purpose. He separated me unto the gospel of God. Now, there's not a person in here that doesn't know what gospel means. Good news, the chariot's coming. Good news, you can be free. Good news, you can get rescued. Good news, you can be delivered. I've got good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. Go sailing through the air. Paul says, I was separated unto the gospel of God. And then he goes on to say, which he had before spoken of by the prophets and the Holy Scripture. Listen, hold it. If you got a Bible, bless God, hold it up. Listen, that's not to be on the table at home. That's to be in your hands, in your lap, before your eyes, reading it. It's holy. He says it is. And he says it was given by the prophets. What was given by the prophets? Oh, listen, this great deliverer. This great deliverance that he's promised. He promised salvation. And he didn't just promise it in the New Testament. He's promised it all the way back. He said it's coming. And then in the New Testament he says it came. And then he says this. It's not just any gospel. It's not just any good news. Listen, I could say this. I could say, I'm going to give you $1 million. It's hypothetical. You know that.
I know it's hypothetical.
I can't give you the only million I've got. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I could say I'm going to give you $1 million. Is that good news? Huh? Well, we got to talk for a minute, though. You say it's good news. But, honey, it's only good news if I've got $1 million to give you.
You've got little stipulations.
No stipulations. It's only good news if I can deliver on the good news. Huh? Listen, it's only the gospel of God if God can deliver. Well, let me tell you right now, so that nobody is misunderstanding or mistaken about anything, God delivers. He don't expect Sandy to deliver. He don't expect you to deliver. He don't expect you to deliver. He don't expect you, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor anyone else to deliver. He'll deliver. And he says that it is that concerning his, was it say? You're looking at the, mercy, I tell you, this is the most stubborn, hard-headed class I've ever seen in my life. Concerning his son. Not just anybody. Why is it concerning his son? Well, because nobody but him can do what needs to be done. You remember in Revelation chapter 5, you remember how that they're searching through heaven for someone who can take back the deed? And John began to weep because they couldn't find anyone. And then they said, now John, don't be over there crying, son. Let me give you a little good news. Look right over there. The Lamb. The Lamb. Well, the Lamb is the Son. And he says, concerning his Son. And then it says, and his Son was shown to be his Son a certain way. How's that? Well, you're reading it through the
resurrection.
Through the resurrection. Now, look, had anybody been resurrected prior to Jesus' resurrection?
Lazarus.
Okay, I'm going over here. She's going to want to talk with me. That's got me and you will have a conversation. Lazarus, he's a example of resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Lazarus resurrected himself.
No.
Huh?
Jesus resurrected
himself. Oh, that's right. We're getting now. Yeah, now I remember. It's all coming back
after
to me.
3 days of being dead.
Oh, he's late. 4 days.
Four days.
Hey, if you've heard Amy sing, hey, 4 days late and he's still on time.
I was close.
No, you was close. Day short and dollar short and all that. Listen, Lazarus did not resurrect himself.
No.
Well, who resurrected Jesus?
God.
Huh? Well, that means somebody else did it for him. That means he's not God.
He'd have to resurrect himself.
Oh, he resurrected himself. Didn't he? He says, proven to be his son by the resurrection. Listen, he proved to be God because he's in that tomb, and all of a sudden he says, well, it's time for me to get up. Mm-hmm. He did. The angel didn't come down and unroll that stone away and say, God said, get up. No, on the third day. You know why he got up on the third day? Come on.
Yes, that's why.
What? No, wait, honey. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to let everybody know.
Because he don't break promises, and he said he would.
There you go. Listen, he got up because he said he's going. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to get it up. So he proved he was God. Why is that important? What's important about that? What's the importance of that?
Salvation.
Well, listen, salvation's not worth a plug nickel to you unless the person that promised it to you can
keep his promise.
Deliver. And he proved that he was God, and therefore he proved that his good news was good. Now all we got to do is figure out what that is. Okay. Or?
The Word of God.
No, now that's Becky's answer. Specifically? Oh, I see them big eyes. Now the deer's caught in the headlights, aren't they? No, I'm just playing with you. So, what's the preacher been preaching on? Huh? Plowing. Cultivating. Well, if you go to Mark, you can go to Mark. that was a rhetorical question. If you go, you go. You know, you can go to Mark. I'll put it that way. You can go to Mark, and chapter 1, the very first verse in chapter 1 of Mark, says something really interesting. It says the beginning. Thank you, brother. Oh, I can't get any help. The beginning of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Okay, then I got to come over here. So it means this is the beginning of the word?
The good news?
The good news. It's the beginning of the good news. Okay, come on.
Of Jesus Christ and our salvation?
What does it say?
It says the beginning of the gospel.
Okay, stop. The beginning of the
gospel.
Okay, now what is the gospel?
Good news.
The good news about what?
Jesus Christ.
About Jesus Christ doing what?
The Son of God.
I prefaced all this by saying what salvation is. I gave you three things. First of all, it's rescue.
Rescue.
Second, it's delivered. Deliverance, and third of all,
freedom.
It's those three things. If it wasn't those three things, it's not good news, folks. If salvation is not about being set free from sin and the power of sin, the presence of sin, and the penalty of sin, then we have nothing. But it is. We have something. we have salvation. So he said, when he says it's the beginning of the gospel, what does it mean? It means it's the beginning of his ministry. Because if you come on over there, he goes down through there and he talks about baptism. And he says, now John, he says it was spoken of in the scriptures that John would come beforehand. And John would do something. What would John do?
Prepare a way.
You're starting to get it now. John would prepare the way. What way? The way of salvation. And he would be telling everybody about whom? Jesus Christ. So then it says that John baptized in the wilderness with water. And he baptized with repentance and the remission of sin, right? And then John says, this is all in chapter 1, by the way, y'all can see it. And John says, but, hey, like that, preacher. But there's one coming after me whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to even latch. Who will not baptize you with water. Because that was only temporary. You remember in the Old Testament, you say, Tom, God, we'll never get through this. Oh, yeah, I got oodles of time till the Lord comes back. In the Old Testament, did they have sacrifice of animals?
Yes,
they did. Yes, they did. Why? Huh? Well, I got a better answer. Because God said to. He said to do it. He said, listen, I want you to sacrifice an animal. And here, if I accept your sacrifice, and I can only accept your sacrifice if you come with a willing heart, he says. I'm not throwing off on any religions, so don't be saying I am. But, you know, I see a lot of people that think they can just live any old way they want to, and all they got to do is go and tell the preacher that they've done bad, and he'll absolve them and all that stuff. And then they can go back to doing whatever they's doing. Listen, don't buy that for a second. Ain't going to buy that for a second. And I'd hope they wouldn't buy that for a second because, listen, you're absolved from sin one time. One time. Not two times. And not three times. Not four times. One time. God will save you from sin one time. And that's all it's going to take, one time. But here, they would have to come back how often?
Once a year.
Once a year, a little louder. Louder.
Oh, louder.
Louder. Yeah.
Oh,
once a year.
Once a year.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, mercy. Once a year. Why did they have to come back every year, honey?
Because they sinned all of them. And they needed to be cleansed every year.
But why?
Because God said so.
That's right. See, that's what God laid out. God says, listen, I'm going to roll this back for a year. And then you're going to have to come back next year and do atonement all over again. But boy, that'd be a tough way to live, wouldn't it? You know, Lord, I got to come back every year and every year and every year. But no, Hebrews says that he, meaning Christ, is the perfect high priest because he did it one time. See, his sacrifice doesn't roll back for a year. His sacrifice, if you accept it, and if you apply it, and if you receive it, it will roll it back forever. Is that not better? That's why he calls it New Covenant. Otherwise, New Testament. That's why he says the beginning of the Good news. Listen, it's good news because now you're not going to have to come to the temple every year and slaughter an animal and get atonement for your sin. I'm going to forgive you forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I don't want to get too excited because I may have to sing a song later. I don't know. But that's why he says the beginning of the gospel. Folks, listen. If the good news is not about Christ, we don't have any good news. I don't have any good news for you. I don't have $1 million for you either, by the way.
I knew that.
Well, I forgot to tell you, and I saw that look on your face, and I thought, oh, gosh, she thinks I'm going to whip out that $1 million and give it to her. I don't have it, honey. And if I did, my wife wouldn't let me give it to you. Because what's hers is hers, and what's mine is hers. So I'm broke. And she ain't got no good news for me. I tell you about my little bride since I'm in. I love my little bride. And her birthday's coming up, you know, and I got to get that poem wrote. Boy, I tell you what, I'm under the time. Yeah, I got to get some time alone here and write her poem. Because, I get hit. Her birthday's on the 13th, so you know what? I get hit twice, or the 13th and the 14th. And she come to me the other day, and she says, honey, guess what you got me for my birthday? And she told me. And you know what I told her? Get two of them. And I'm covered. Get two of them and I'm covered. And you know what she did? She got two of them. Oh, I was just glad it wasn't a new car. I'd have had a car lot at the house. It's a watch. She wanted this watch, you know. So now my poem will be about time. And I'll end it by saying, sweetheart, since for 52 years you've been my Valentine, could you now tell me just the time? That's my last line. I already got it. No, here we go. Now, anybody know where I was? Well, I know where I am, so that's okay. So he says, Jesus came and John baptized him, right? And then out of heaven came a dove, and it was the Spirit. And the Spirit lit on him and
said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear me.
That's the only time you ever speak up loud is when I don't want you to. And so here we have the Trinity. Here we have the Trinity. We have the Son. He's being baptized.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit. He's lit on his shoulder. Who's missing?
No one.
God's missing. No, someone's missing. Who's missing? I said it's the Trinity.
God.
Well, the Father. But now the Father shows up, right? Because it says, and they heard this great voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Only, oh, I got to tell you this. This is good. This is so good. How many of you have ever had a real burden and you needed the Lord to answer it and help you? Well, I get the end up, but I fail this morning. You got to be careful when you get up early and go down steps. You might miss one. Fortunately, I was able to steer myself this way. Otherwise, there'd have been 13 more steps down that way. Woke my wife up. Oh, bless its heart. It come running in there. Honey, you okay? You okay? Well, I'm done. I sort of addled, but I'm okay now. Now, what was I talking about? Anybody know? Thank you. See, I like people to help me keep straight. So the next time that you've got a burden, who are you going to take it to?
Jesus.
That's right, honey. You know why?
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you why.
Yes, okay.
I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because this is my beloved Son in whom I am.
Well,
listen, who sits at the right hand of the Father? The Son. And we go to the Son and we say, Lord, would you hear my prayer? And you know what he does? Father, that's my boy. I know he don't always act like my boy, but he's my boy. And he's got this burden. Would you hear him? And you know what the Father does? The Bible says that for his sake, not mine, for Jesus' sake, he hears and he answers. And you know what that gives me? Confidence. I can go the next time too, you know, because I go more than once. I confess to you, I go more than once. I'll confess to you, I go more than twice. I confess to you, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been there. But I'll tell you this, not one time, not one time, not the first time, not the last time, not any time, not any time has he ever failed to hear me, because he hears through his Son. That's the good news. Listen, if you don't have Christ, you don't have any news, my friend. You don't have good news. You don't have news, period. You have to have the Son to have the Father. That's what he says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Bless God, you're not getting back to God unless you come through his Son, because he's the one he's pleased in, not you. And not me. Now you say, Tom, what's this got to do with anything? Oh, it's got a lot to do with everything. What's the preacher been preaching on? Cultivating. Cultivating. He says, oh, I like it. Yeah. And, you know, he has to rub it in, you know. He knows I can't do it. And he said, I like to get out there in that dirt and feel the dirt in my hands and all this stuff. He knows I'm going to come over and get a tomato. He knows I am. But boy, he'll rub it in. And look what I did. But if you come on over to Luke chapter 8, you'll see that Jesus was by the seashore. And he got into a boat and he began to teach him parables. And he says a sower went forth to sow. And then he gives four illustrations of the ground that the seed falls on. He says, first of all, the seed fell on hard ground. He says, second of all, the seed fell on stony ground. He says, third of all, the seed fell on thorny ground. He says, and fourthly, the seed fell on good ground. And then he says to them later, he says, I will tell you now the parable of the sower. He says, the sower is the Son. And he says, the seed is the Word of God. Now, why is that important? Well, here's why that's important. Everyone in here that knows Christ as Savior has been given a calling. You remember I started all this by saying Paul, an apostle, called to be, chosen to be, and then separated to do. Well, look, if you are saved today, you were chosen. You were called to be saved. And then you were separated. No word, set apart from the world to do something that you could not do until you were saved. A lost person can't go out and tell the world how to be saved. They're lost. But a saved person who knows they're saved can shout it from the rooftops. And so he says, here's the parable of the sower. He says, first of all, the seed fell on hard ground. He says, now, this is one who heareth but understandeth not. Now, you have to be careful there. You have to be careful there because you have to know what understandeth not means. What it means is you choose not to understand. If you look the word up in Greek and you say, Tom, why do you always tell us about the Greek? Well, it was written in Greek, so you have to, you say, English and Greek are sort of different sometimes, right? And even though it's translated into English, sometimes we, as I say, study, show thyself approved. But what it means is, he that is on the hard ground, they hear it. They sit in here. They sit in here. And they hear it. But they refuse to believe it. Because if you go back to Mark, where it says that it was the beginning of the gospel, Jesus comes over there and it says, and he went into Galilee preaching the gospel, and that they should repent and believe the gospel. Listen, it's one thing to hear it and to acknowledge, yeah, I was there today, preacher preached okay. Well, that's just hearing. That'll get you nothing. But to believe it, that's what it means, you understand it. But he says here, they understand not. They choose not to. Listen, their heart is hard. It's hard. And let me tell you something. Every time a person hears and refuses to believe, you know what happens to their heart? It gets harder. And you know what happens when your heart gets harder? It gets harder to believe. Huh? It gets harder for it to penetrate the next time you hear. So he says, you know what happened? So Satan's got this idea. He says, well, I got them. They heard that, but they didn't really want to believe it. So you know what I'm going to do? That's my bird. I'm going to swoop down. Well, didn't you like my bird, honey? I'm going to swoop down, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to snatch the word away, lest they might start to believe it. That's the danger of it, folks. That's the danger of hearing the gospel and choosing not to believe it. Satan will snatch it away, and then God may not bring it back again. Huh? Well, God doesn't know you but one chance, folks. Oh, his grace. And listen, I'm so glad for his grace and mercy, but he don't owe anybody but one chance. And so he says, that's the hard soul. And the Satan comes along and snatches it away. And then he says, then there was that fell on stony ground. Now, stony ground, he says, it's that person that, boy, for a second, they say, yeah, man, that sounds good. I'm going to go up and get that. But they don't really believe it. They just, the excitement and everything, they didn't really believe what they heard. It's just the excitement of it. And they want to add Jesus to their life. They want to keep their life. Now, I ain't giving up nothing, but I'll add Jesus to my life. Well, that's what it says. And he says, what happens is this. They make this profession. And then all of a sudden, persecution comes along for a reason. What's the reason it says? Because of the word. Listen, you try to live up to the word, but it's too hard on you. The persecution comes, and you can't live up to it. And you know what happens? You go away. You go away. Because you didn't have anything to hold you. You were trying to hold yourself. You were trying to just add Jesus to your life. And he says, don't work. It won't work. And then he says, the seed fell on thorny ground. And he said, now this, he says, oh, it sort of popped right up. But then the cares and the riches of this world choked it out. Let me tell you something. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than to have riches untold. I'm glad to know that when I pulled out from that red light, there was no thorns to choke it out. There was no thorn. There was no stony ground to make it superficial. and there was no hard ground to keep me. When I went through saved. Because he says, the fourth ground, he says, oh, he says, it fell on good ground. You know what good ground is, don't you? Oh, that's what the preacher's been talking about, where he takes that rototiller. I saw the picture, so I know about it now. I know about it. You have to have a helmet and motorcycle gloves to operate one, they say. And you get that rototiller, and you start tilling up that ground, and it gets soft and pliable. And boy, you can get down in there, and you can get that little, you could even take your hand, it's so soft and pliable, and you get it in your finger, that's what the preacher says. And you put that seed in there, and you cover it back up with that good ground. And you know what? The Bible says it brought forth fruit. Let me tell you something. The only way a person's ever going to bring forth the fruit of salvation, and I've told you what salvation is, deliverance from sin. The only way a person's ever going to be delivered from sin, my friend, is for that seed, the Word of God, to fall on good ground. And he says, some 100, some 60, some 30, but some. Never none. You will never find where it didn't bring up fruit. You'll never find where the Word of God won't bring that fruit of salvation to a person. Peter says it like this. Peter says that we are saved not with corruptible seed, such as silver and gold, but we are saved with the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. There's two words in the Bible for word. One means utterances. That, and for example, we just heard a message last week where Jesus said to them, he says, boys, cast your net on the other side. Yeah. And they said, Lord, at thy word we'll do it. And you know what happened? Oh, they couldn't drag them all in. That's one. That means utterances, the utterances. But then there's another word. It means the speech and even the thought. And that's the word that's used in John chapter 1 where it says, and the Word was in the beginning. And the Word became flesh. And it's the word here that's used in Peter where he says, incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And we all know that the Word of God is synonymous with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not born again by Jesus Christ, bless God, you're not born again. I don't care what, come on in. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care what preachers preach to you. I don't care what teachers teach to you. I don't care what singers sing to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're as lost can be. And then Paul calls it a double-edged sword. You know what that means? It gets you coming and going. Huh? Bless God, if you're lost, it'll get you coming in and cut it out. And if you're saved, bless God, it'll cut out the filth from your life as you go. The Word of God is all you'll ever need. All you'll ever need. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's that lighthouse that sits there on the hill that caught this old boy. Huh? There I was, sailing, lost, in darkness. Look, when you're in dark, you can't see where you're going. Just ask me this morning trying to go down them steps. Bless God, don't try to go down steps in the dark. You'll fall. But there I was, lost. And all of a sudden, here it comes, Shirley. Here it comes. Y'all seen them lighthouses, haven't you? They start over here. Boy, and they're just coming around. And all of a sudden, there's that ship. That ship, it's getting ready to hit the rocks. And the captain says, oh, wait! Wait, boys, hold up! I saw the light! Praise God, drift this thing another way! I don't want to hit them rocks. Well, that lighthouse is Jesus. Huh? Yeah. He caught this old boy just in time from being shipwrecked. So the next time you think about your salvation, I want you to think about three things. Shackled. You are shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand, glory. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I'm no longer the same. I saw the lighthouse there on the hill. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. Praise his holy name for the gospel. See ya.